Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today we are going to conclude satisfying the burden of proof. Rabbeinu Bachaya, the author of this extraordinary Gate of Trust, made a very bold statement, a statement that arguably had never been made before. It's about the importance of trust. Trust will bring us our blessings. Trust is an absolute endeavor. It's singular in nature. Invariably, if you don't trust 100% in God, you'll be putting your trust elsewhere. And that can be your very undoing. Rabbeinu Bachaya set out to prove this by virtue of no less than 5 verses. In the first burden of proof, we spoke about a verse which is lifted from the prophecies of Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, in the 2nd chapter in the 13th verse. Jeremiah, rebuking the Jewish people, speaks about them having committed 2 evils: forsaking God, who is the source of living waters, proverbially speaking, and instead digging for themselves independent, different cisterns, but cisterns that are cracked, leak, and cannot hold or provide lasting salvation. We delved into this in great detail some 2 episodes ago, and we talked about how we can actually see from this verse that if you aren't trusting Hashem, you necessarily are placing your trust elsewhere, and that in doing so, Hashem will turn His providence away from you. In our previous episode, we talked about the ox bow incident, when the Jewish people embraced the golden calf and turned their backs on God. There is a very strong emphasis here on the notion of vayomiru. There's an exchange. It wasn't simply an act of idolatry, but rather the notion of placing their trust in another force or spirit, which ultimately could lead, or would have led, to devastating consequences, if not for Moses having stood in the breach. And yet, despite these 2 very clear verses, Rabbeinu Bachaya feels a burden still upon him. He has to demonstrate with greater clarity that the scripture itself, that the prophetic tradition, clearly delineates the importance of trust, and that the lack thereof can be debilitating. Well, let's take a look and see how this sefer continues. On the surface, Rabbeinu Bachaya seems to have dug into a mixed bag of verses that reference the notion of trust, and he just throws them at us. Va'amar HaKosuv, and the verse says, here he refers to Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 7. Baruch HaGever, asher yivtach ba'Hashem. Blessed is the person, or the man, who trusts in God. V'hoya HaShem miftachai. God will be his support. He trusts in God. God will be his support. Then he says, V'omar, and it is written or stated in the book of Psalms, he refers to Psalm 40, verse 5, Ashrei HaGever, fortunate, or praised is the man, Asher Sam Hashem Miftachai, who has made Hashem his source of support. In other words, placed his trust in God entirely. V'leifana al rehovim v'shatei chozev, he has not turned to the haughty or focused on those who turn to falsehood. And then the 3rd verse, Va'amar, it's further stated, back to Jeremiah, chapter 17, now we go to verse 5. Oror HaGever, cursed is the man, Asher Yiftach Ba'odam, who places his trust or security, who relies on a man, on a human. Va'sam Basar Zoyoy, he makes flesh or flesh and blood his might, his strength. Umin Hashem Yosser Libe. From Hashem, from God, he turns his heart away. Now, on the surface, this really just seems like an eclectic collection of verses stitched together by Rabbeinu Bechaya, kind of emphasizing that you're blessed if you trust in God, you're cursed if you don't trust in God, and in general, it's very fortunate to somebody who trusts in God and doesn't trust or place his trust elsewhere. Nice verses, by and large, emphasizing the importance or the goodness brought about through trust. Is there anything specific Rabbeinu Bechaya is trying to prove? Let me ask you a simple question. Everybody here is intelligent, thoughtful. If you're going to present verses, shouldn't you present them in order? I mean, this is really odd the way the author stitches it together. Jeremiah verse 7, going back then to the book of Psalms, and finally, the same chapter in Jeremiah, verse 5. I don't know, but it seems to me that the appropriate thing is first to speak of King David, who in an inspired and exalted sense of prophecy upon him states, Ashrei, fortunate. Then you can go and say, Arur HaGever, cursed is the person, that's verse 5, and finally conclude with blessing. That's the way Jeremiah gave us the prophecies. Why would you put verse 7, then go off to Psalms, and then go back to verse 5? Now, in this very, very fine new Shaar HaBetochen, Gate of Trust, that was published by Kihat Publications and Chayenu, they simply suggest that the verse Baruch HaGever, this verse assures us that if we have trust in Hashem, we'll be protected by Him. Well, I suppose so. It says, Baruch HaGever, Asher Yivtach B'Hashem. It says, blessed. It doesn't say he will necessarily be protected. In his own translation, it says, V'Hoyah Hashem Miftachai, Hashem will be his support. So how does the verse assure you that you're going to be protected? I don't know. The translator further suggests it also implies that if we lack trust, we will not be protected. How'd you get that? Where does it say anything about what wouldn't happen? It simply says, blessed. Jeremiah is blessing people for trusting in God. He doesn't offer anything other than his blessing. Then the translator and elucidator suggests that the verse in Psalms praises the person who relies on God rather than turning to others. In this verse, we see there's a straightforward choice. Either rely on God or another entity. There is no middle ground. I'm not sure where he got that from. Why? Fortunate is the person who trusted in God and didn't turn elsewhere. Okay, so you're fortunate if you can place all your trust in God. How about if I can do 50% of my trust in God? Isn't that good enough? Or is it of value? What if I have a pantheon of different things that I rely upon? My bank account, my talent, my mother-in-law, I don't know. Various things that I trust upon, I rely upon these things. This is going to save me. How do you know things are going to work out? Oh, my wife's going to take care of things. I rely on my wife. Uh-oh, you didn't trust Hashem. It doesn't say that. It just says, Ashrei HaGever Asher Sam Hashem Miftachai. And anyway, it doesn't say that you shouldn't put your trust in other people. It just says, don't put your trust in the haughty. None of the people I mentioned are haughty. What's wrong with trusting your parents? How nice is it if you can trust your children? They'll deliver. They promised. It only emphasizes the notion of Leifana El Rehovim, didn't turn to the haughty. So, I don't really understand how we can be so sure about the fact that this is a verse that provides us with a straightforward choice. Lastly, Jeremiah does say, cursed is the person. Oh, them is fighting words. He says, this verse teaches us that bad things will befall the person who relies upon others rather than God. Doesn't say other than God. He just says, Arur HaGever, cursed is the person who relies on a man. The elucidator here suggests that it supports the author's original statement that God removes his divine providence from those who don't trust him. Really? Why? This is it's a very good work. I love this book. I've been using it and it's been helping me focus. But it simply doesn't fully explain what Rabbeinu Bechaya did here. I want to point out something else. This is some of you will say, well, you're being a little super charitable. Well, I am. To treat a text charitably, as those who speak this academic language, means that you make the assumption that every nuance is precise. There are no just words that show up. There's no poetry here. We treat the texts of the Rishonim, of our early medieval scholars, as such. That's bread and butter for the Talmud student. Whether it's the words of Rashi, or the Tosafos, the words of the early commentators, like Nachmanides and Ritva. Any good student of Talmud has learned time and again to precisely analyze. Rabbeinu Bechaya precedes Maimonides, Rashi, Ritva, Ramban, some by centuries. I believe Rabbeinu Bechaya was extremely precise. I also trust that his translator, Rabbi Yehuda ibn Tibbon, who was a great scholar, a disciple of Maimonides in his own right, wouldn't have just flowered things or made them prettier by throwing in extra nuance. With that little preface, I want to zero in on the precise nature of the way these five verses are introduced. He begins with the statement. The statement is Shenemar. Well, let's back up here for a moment. Rabbeinu Bechaya opens up by telling us Bitochen on God is a singular, sum zero kind of pursuit. Al ho'elekim levadai. He told us that one can achieve inner peace and tranquility by placing his or her trust in God, implicitly and absolutely. He then went on to make a very bold claim that anybody who doesn't trust fully in God invariably is trusting in somebody else or something else. And then, perhaps most shocking of all, he says, if you put your trust elsewhere, God removes his providence. Ve'yihye kimi shenemer bo, you will be like the one about whom the scripture states. So he starts off, ve'yihye, you will be. You will be kimi shenemer, as is stated. As shenemer in Torah language, in Torah literature, means as is stated in the scripture. Then when he quotes the second verse from Psalms, he doesn't say shenemer, he just says it further buttresses or strengthens his point. It says ve'omar, and he says. Broadly speaking, that's a way to refer to something of the same genre. Jeremiah's prophecy, Psalms' prophecy. You will be kamisha nemar by about whom it is stated in the scripture. Kishtayim rois, and he quotes that first verse from Jeremiah, ve'omar, and he says in the book of Psalms, vayomiru es kvaidim, when King David described the events when they bow to an ox. We talk about this exchange. Then Rabbeinu Bechaya says, ve'amar hakatuv, and the scripture states. So, I'd like to point out that he doesn't simply say again, ve'amar, but he says, ve'amar hakatuv. Katuv means scripture, and the scripture says. Subsequently, he says, ve'amar, and he says, and he refers to Psalms, and then again, ve'amar, and he further says, and he takes us back to Jeremiah. Okay, so this is my suggestion. As I understand it, and I could be wrong, but as I understand the remarkable manuscript in this book, there's something extremely precise that is being developed and created before our very eyes. Rabbeinu Bechaya did not simply make statements or claims, assuming that you must accept his word, he was wont to demonstrate the origins of how he had come to his conclusions. You'll remember, this is a man, a sage, an extraordinarily pious teacher of Torah, who began writing this entire work with what almost sounds like an apology. He makes the case for the book not being written altogether, and then comes back and says, but I realize that this book does need to be written. And he acknowledges, although he does so with extraordinary humility, does not even identify himself as the author. There was a time when people weren't sure if Rabbeinu Bachaya Bar Yosef Ibn Pekuda was the author, or whether he was simply a redactor. This has been historically proven that he, in fact, was the author, the judge of Sargossa, but it wasn't always known. In his great humility, he says, perhaps there isn't need or necessity. And then, as we learned, he makes the case and says, no. This is a book that has to be written. Its time has come. And, of course, it's remained one of the outstanding classics in our Jewish library of greatness. So Rabbeinu Bachaya began his work about bitochen, the Shara Bitochen, the gate of trust, by staking several bold claims, traveling, as it were, in this terra incognita. This is new territory. To the best of my knowledge, nobody ever made these claims in such a systematic and lucid way prior. He says that bitochen, in his opening line, is al ha'elikim levadai. Bitochen is a sum-zero game. You only trust in God. God is not part of the things or one of the things you trust in. You have an insurance policy. I trust in A, B, C, and D. God is one factor or the most powerful factor. Real bitochen means sole reliance on God and God alone. The author says doing that will provide you with absolute peace and tranquility. Believing in God will not give you peace and tranquility necessarily. I can believe in God. I can believe that God is the ultimate determinator of everything that is going to unfold, and I'm worried. I have lots of anxiety. So what if God's the one who calls the shots? I don't trust him. He's done lots of things I haven't liked. He doesn't have a good record as far as I'm concerned, a person could say. Rabbeinu Bachaya says, if you want to experience tranquility, if you want to live with certainty, you need to learn to trust. And trust is absolute. The servant doesn't take orders from two masters. The construction worker follows the drawings to the T. That's where he gets his orders from. He trusts that the professionals have given him a good product. After staking this new bold claim, saying that trust is an absolute thing, Rabbeinu Bachaya goes on to make the second point. If there's an area in life, any part, any iota of your radar that isn't focused on or trusting in Hashem, you're trusting in something else. We as human beings need to live with trust. We've developed this idea in detail in previous episodes. The third statement was, Misha Beiteach Bezulas Hashem, the person who is going to trust in something other than God, will find God taking his providence from him. Meser ho'elikim hashkachasim me'alav. God removes his providence and he abandons him. U'maniach ho'isay bi'ad mi shabotach olav. You trusted another force, another person, another power. Now you're in their hands. In other words, God is not going to provide for you in an open and overt fashion. Exactly what this means, we've talked about in previous episodes. And if you're joining us for the first time today, I really encourage you to go back to the beginning and watch these classes. Take the time, listen carefully, think about what we learn, because it can change your life. Rabbeinu Bechaya now has the burden of proof upon him. Those are very, very weighty things he just said. He says, well, if you're going to do that, you'll be exactly the person Jeremiah talked about. The person about whom it's written, Kishtayim Rois Osa Im Ami. My nation has done two evils. We discussed this at great length in the previous episode known as Broken Cisterns. After making or proving his point, showing you how behavior other than what he suggested makes you the subject of Jeremiah's critique, he added another layer or nuance, the Omar, and furthermore it is written, Vayamiru es kvedem, they exchanged their glory or honor for Savnis Shoyde Echelesev. The historic and tragic ox bow incident that happened to our nation in its infancy. We talked about that in very great detail in our previous episode. Rabbeinu Bechaya now is going to be adding something that he hasn't yet discussed. Ve'omar HaKosov, and the verse says, listen to me carefully. The one thing we haven't yet proved is that trust in Hashem actually brings us blessing. We don't know that it brings us blessing. We heard about Jeremiah criticizing the notion of those who abandoned the life-elixing waters of God's blessing and instead embraced the cracked and leaking cisterns made by humanity. We heard that people had exchanged, many people, our ancestors, exchanged their glory for a spirit. A terrible thing. All of this clearly indicated that trust is an absolute reality. Real betochen means you trust in nothing, nobody, only Hashem. A person is calm and complacent as he's being wheeled into surgery, not because he trusts the doctor, not because he places his trust in the medical staff that's assisting the physician or surgeon, not because he knows that this hospital has a very good reputation. Why is he calm? He's being wheeled into surgery. Because he trusts in Hashem. Wow. So why did he look for the best hospital? Why did he want a good surgeon? Because according to Torah, one is required to make every possible effort within the realm of nature. And we're not allowed to put ourselves in danger. If there's a person who serves as a physician and has a bad reputation, submitting yourself under the knife of that individual is not the safest or smartest thing to do. Because by natural means, this is a person who doesn't seem adept. So Torah says we are required to put our best foot forward. The business person enters a meeting. He's got a huge presentation. His livelihood depends on the outcome of this get-together. He's perfectly calm. He's not calm because he spent 6 hours reviewing this presentation. He's not calm because he took a Valium on the way in. He's not calm because he believes or trusts that his product is indeed the best out there. He's calm because he trusts in Hashem. Of course he put 6 hours of work in. Torah says we should. You give it your best effort. You do all that is reasonable. You should have a good product to sell. You look for a good business. But that's not why you're calm. You're calm and you're tranquil because you know that Hashem is going to do good things for you. I could go on. Such is the nature of betochen. And let's be honest. How many people really achieve that? How many people are even aware that that is the meaning of true betochen? That's why Rabbeinu Bechaya wrote his book. What if I'm not deserving, though? What if I'm not such a big tzaddik? How could I be so sure Hashem is going to help me? How could I be so certain that God is going to provide to the point that I'm actually calm and tranquil, although so much is riding on the next few hours? So Rabbeinu Bechaya still hasn't proven or demonstrated that betochen in it of itself is a source of blessing. We've talked about this in the prologue, in the introduction to the series, but Rabbeinu Bechaya has never really demonstrated it. And despite the fact that he illustrated the person who places trust elsewhere, Kemi Shenem Arboi, as the subject of Jeremiah's critique, notwithstanding that Va'omar and the book of Tehillim we hear about the exchange, nowhere yet have we heard that betochen is actually a vehicle for success. That's the envelope that brings you Hashem's bracha. And so, Rabbeinu Bechaya does not turn to the book of Tehillim, although the book of Tehillim precedes the book of Jeremiah, and the prophecies of King David precede the prophecies of Jeremiah by centuries. And it's not because King David's statement isn't powerful. One might argue that King David's statement is even more powerful. In fact, he is the one who contrasts some Hashem Miftachai v'loy ponel rehovim, places his trust in God and didn't turn to the arrogant. So if Rabbeinu Bechaya wants to further demonstrate that it's you're with us or against us, you place your trust in Hashem or you turn your back, the book of Psalms is the right place to start. But that's not the burden that now lies upon Rabbeinu Bechaya. That burden has to some degree already been addressed. That is the boldest claim Rabbeinu Bechaya makes. The boldest claim is not that trust is singular. It's not even that it's natural to trust. And so if we won't trust in Hashem, we will be trusting in something else. And that even if God is one of the trust factors, that's not called real betochen. The biggest statement he makes is, if you don't trust in Hashem, you lose God's blessing. Seriously? If I don't trust in Hashem 100%, I don't get God's blessings? Come on! For real? There are much bigger sins than not trusting in Hashem 100%. It's true. But it's not so much of a punishment as much as it's a consequence. God says, if you turn away from me, I will turn from you. As we've discussed in the previous episodes, Rabbeinu Bechaya first cements that position. He says, if you'll do that, you'll be the subject of Jeremiah's scathing second chapter. That is what King David described as the greatest and most damaging element of the golden calf, not the idol worship, the exchange, the equating. I trust in God and can't trust in God and. For just as faith is absolute and one cannot believe in God and believe in another deity, the idea of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, as the commentaries who codified mitzvahs explained, means Achdus Hashem. Rambam calls it intelligent faith, Leida, to know that there is one singular and only source for everything. The Judaism necessarily rejects the notion of competing entities. There is no devil versus God, chas v'shalom. Everything comes from God. That poses a very significant theological challenge when God is the source of evil and suffering and agony. But that's not the subject we're talking about. No, that's the fact of the matter. For us, belief is absolute. Betochen is the development of belief. It's the application of belief on an emotional level. It's where it filters through from the knowledge of the mind into the feeling in the heart. And I trust God. I have to trust God implicitly and absolutely. I have to rely on God and God alone. Otherwise, that's an act of faith unfaithfulness. Now Rabbeinu Bechaya must demonstrate that this kind of bitochen is actually the key to unlocking the blessings, or in the Rebbe's metaphor, to opening the faucet. It's available. You need to open the faucet so that the blessings can pour forth. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, V'omar HaKosov, he does not quote verse 5, he goes straight to verse 7, because the biggest issue at hand is demonstrating that Betochen itself becomes the source of blessings. That's the thing we haven't spoken of yet. V'omar Baruch HaGever Shayiftach B'Hashem, blessed is he who trusts in Hashem, or who relies in Hashem. V'hoya Hashem Mivtachoi, God will be his security. Let me tell you how the commentaries explain that verse. Listen to this. Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach BaHashem. Blessed is the person who trusts in God. Rabbeinu David Kimchi, the Radak, says, Baruch HaGever, blessed is the one who places his trust, V'hoya Hashem Miftachai, and then God will be his security, his support. Says Radak, Im Yivtach Boy, if you trust him, Hu Yeh Miftachai, then he will be your security. If you are secure in God, then he will be your security. If you trust in God, then he will be your trusted source of deliverance and salvation. You have nothing to be afraid of. Hey, one minute. I did a lot of averus. I've done a lot of inappropriate things. I have a lot to be afraid of. Isn't Hashem going to punish me? Isn't there going to be some kind of payment or consequence? If you can muster trust in Hashem, lo yira mikora, you don't have to fear evil. It goes without saying that a person who is a bal averot, a person who is rebellious against Hashem, a person who doesn't lead his or her life in accordance with the will of Hashem, is not going to trust Hashem. If you trusted God implicitly, you trust God. If he said, don't eat the pork, or don't work on Shabbat, or make sure you put on tefillin. Clearly, if you're not doing these things or doing the things you're not supposed to, you don't really trust that it makes a difference, despite the fact that God said it makes all the difference. But if you will trust, Yiyeh Miftachai, Hashem will be your source. He will be your security. You have nothing to fear. In other words, in the way that Radak explains this verse, it's talking about the power of trust, something we haven't really demonstrated up until this point. That's why I'm like trying to suggest to you that Rabbeinu Bechaya was so precise in choosing his words. Firstly, he said, talking about the last point he made, Hashem removing trust from you, the notion of faith or trust being a sum-zero deal. He says, V'yihi yihiyeh k'misha nemer ba, you'll be the subject spoken of in Jeremiah's second chapter of rebuke, prophetic rebuke. You'll be that subject. That's exactly who you're acting like. As they say in French, nishgut, not a good place to be. V'omar, King David was very clear when he described the sin of the golden calf as not simply being an act of idolatry, but perhaps even more importantly, an act of unfaithfulness, an act, as we learned in the previous episode, of seeking security and faith elsewhere. Now, Rabbeinu Bachaya says, but if you do trust in Hashem, absolutely. And how wonderful is it to live a life that's calm and serene? How amazing is it to be tranquil, anxiety-free? You can have this. I can achieve this with trust. Because Baruch HaGever, Chassidus explains that the word Baruch doesn't just mean blessed, but it actually shares a common root with the notion of actualization. In the language found so often in Hasidic discourses and ruminations, Barucha v'hamshacha, it represents a downflow, an actualization, a bringing forth of God's blessings. This is your wireless network. As we talked about in the name of Maimonides, in the Guide to the Perplexed, the power that God invested in consciousness, in the human mind. That's the human network, the way we connect to God. If you have trust in Hashem, if you fill your mind in the manner that it filters through into your heart, if your IQ is necessarily infusing your EQ, and you're calm and you're tranquil, you're relaxed and at peace because you know that Hashem is going to provide, Baruch HaGever, you are the fortunate one because you're actualizing, you're bringing these blessings. If you're Yivtach BaHashem, if you're placing your trust in Hashem, V'hoya Hashem Yivtachay. You place your security in God, God will be your security. Wow, that's intense. What else can you tell me? Ah, it's good you asked. Before we go on, I want to share with you the words of the Mitzudah David. He says, V'hoya Hashem Yivtachay, Ratzalaymar. The intention here is, K'moy sheyivtach boy, in the way you trust, ken yeh lemivtach uleezra. That's the kind of security. That's the assistance, the intervention or aid you'll get. It's all in accordance with our trust. If we trust powerfully and profoundly, to the point that we have no anxiety or worries, that brings Hashem's blessings. So I'm not so sure it's correct to say that this verse assures if we have trust, we'll be protected by Him, and it implies that the lack of trust will not be protected. I don't know where it gets that from. I don't see that. Verse 7 only emphasizes the positive. Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach, V'hoya Hashem Yivtachay. Now, we go further. We cast an eye on the book of Psalms. Here, David HaMelech says, Ashrei HaGever. In both cases, we're referring to a Gever. In fact, in all three cases, we're referring to a Gever. What's a Gever? A Gever literally means a man, but perhaps you'd best understand it with the modern Hebrew expression, Tehi Gever, which freely translates as, be a man. I know that's probably not politically correct these days, but you understand the message. It's like, find the strength and the courage. As they used to say in a different age, man up. Deal with it. Yeah, it's not easy, it's not fun. Be a man, Tehi Gever. So what is a Gever? Well, a Gever, ultimately, is a person who is more than just an ordinary person. He's a Gibor. Gever and Gibor are not mutually exclusive. In fact, the most virtuous name for humanity is Adam. Adam, as the Rebbe describes in the book of Hayom Yom, represents the idea of Adam El Elyon. It bespeaks the intellectual qualities and excellence of a person. We're Homo sapiens. We have an intelligence and a consciousness that's unparalleled. Ish refers to excellence in the arena of emotional quotients. As they say in Yiddish or maybe even English today, that person's a real mensch. Be a mensch. Be a mensch means do the kind thing, do the sensitive thing. Be a little bigger. Be able to forgive and forget and transcend the minutiae of the challenges you're having in this relationship right now. Just be a mensch. That's an ish. Ish translates as a mensch. An enosh is a person who's deficient, a person who's faulty, either in the arena of Adam or Ish. And that's where the Gever comes in. As the Rebbe says in Hayom Yom, the Gever works with the Enosh to turn him into an Ish or into an Adam. The Gever, we say, man up and become a mensch. Be a bigger person. Rise to the occasion. Harness your potential. Maximize the God-given wherewithal and ability. That's what Gever means. The notion of Gever indicates that this is not innate. We aren't born with these talents. The Gever is the courage and the inner strength, the fortitude and the tenacity, the devotion and the dedication to keep working at something until you rectify or fix it. Make it happen. That's the Gever. My dear friends, emuna. Emuna is something we all have. We all have faith. As we talked about in the prologue, ganva, even a thief, apum machtarta, as he's at the threshold of making his heist, rachmana karya, he's crying out, God, save me. Faith is atmospheric. It's airy fairy. It's out there. I have faith. It doesn't affect the way I behave. If you have faith in God and you believe he could save you, why wouldn't you trust that he could provide you a livelihood without your violating his will? But somehow the faith you have in God being able to save you, or the no atheists in the foxholes when the bombs are exploding, proverbially speaking, or things are difficult for you and all of a sudden you have this profusion or expression of faith, isn't enough to carry us on a daily basis. Betochen is what this is about. Not everybody has betochen. In fact, as I am discovering the meaning of betochen myself, I say that with tremendous humility and a little bit of embarrassment. I'm amazed at how little I knew about betochen. I'm realizing that we're all deficient in betochen. We all need to work harder. I'm also coming to realize that if we will develop and actualize our potential for betochen, our lives will change. Baruch HaGever. Blessed is the Gever, because betochen doesn't come naturally, organically, or by itself. Blessed is the person who toils at placing his or her trust in Hashem. That's what this is about. That's the person who earns those blessings. Bahoyo, and then when you toil and make the efforts, Bahoyo Hashem Niftache, God will indeed be your source of security. And you won't have to worry. From the word Baruch HaGever, we now move into the words of David HaMelech. He begins not with the notion of Baruch, but rather Ashrei. What's so special about Ashrei, or being fortunate? What's the difference between Ashrei, or praiseworthy, and this notion of being blessed? Let me share with you what Rabbeinu David Kimchi Radak says right in the opening of the book of Psalms. Sefer Tehillim begins with the word Ashrei. David HaMelech says, Ashrei ha'ish, fortunate is the person, Asher lo halach, who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. Says Radak, Milas Ashrei, hi le'olam b'lashon rabim. Ashrei is always found in the plural tense. You don't say a person is fortunate. You could say he was fortunate for a moment. But a person who is fortunate by definition is not a person who once succeeded, who once had a favor, who once saw things go their way. Because one thing went right to good, because he had one success. One success doesn't make you fortunate. Ela betoivos rabois sheyimtzu. Radak says, fortunate. Fortunate is a description of a person who is fortunate. He can count his blessings. Plural. Yoimru alav asherav. People will say, that person is fortunate. That's praiseworthy. In other words, when we move out of the book of Yirmiyahu, out of his very, very sharp and biting criticism. It's a sharp and biting kind of prophecy here. Yirmiyahu depicts the nation's grievous sins of idolatry, the severe punishments that'll come the way. The prophet addresses then the individual. And what does he say? He says, Arur HaGever, but we'll talk about that in a moment. We haven't discussed the Arur HaGever, we've only spoken about the conclusion in which Yirmiyahu says, conversely, Baruch HaGever. But Rabbeinu Bechaya inverts it. Starting with verse 7, he'll only go back to verse 5 later, and you'll understand why as we continue to study. The first thing that must be established is that Bitochen is a vehicle through which our blessings come. It's the faucet. Just turn it on. It's the human network. Get online. The download will begin immediately. In addition to the notion of baruch, of hamshacha, of actualization, of drawing forth, of bringing the flow, of having the download or the energy or the live stream enter, of being, so to speak, upgraded and enriched through this new programming, David HaMelech further tells us, Ashra HaGever, Asher Som Hashem Miftachoi. Fortunate is the person who places in Hashem his trust. You have to place your trust. It doesn't happen by itself. V'leifon el Rahavim, and he doesn't turn to Rahavim. What does Rahavim mean? What is a Rahav? The Mitzudas Tzion says, Inyan Gaiva. It means arrogance, pridefulness. Hischazkus, it means like something that strengthens itself. The word rav, according to some commentators, is related to rachav, broad, spacious. You know, like chametz, like the leavened food that we don't eat on Pesach, that has little air pockets and blows up in self-importance. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. The kind of thing that people would tend to trust in. It naturally seems to shine and glow and glitter. It seems to attract you and say, I'll take care of you. I got your back. I can provide security, it said in its arrogance. So David HaMelech says, Ashrei HaGever, the Gever, the person who works hard, Asher Som Hashem Iftachei. And he didn't do the intuitive or natural thing and trust and place his trust in these sources of arrogance or pridefulness or strength. But instead of placing his trust in that which cannot deliver, in haughty ones, the humble guy says, I can't help you. Sorry, I can't do that. Who are you going to trust? The person who claims that they can't? Or the person who says, sure, I can do this. But he doesn't say so with trust in Hashem. He says so with self-reliance, with security that is based not on trust in Hashem, but on trust in his own talents and wherewithal of power. We'll talk about that, Bezrat Hashem, as we continue to move our way through this remarkable work. So Ashrei HaGever, fortunate is the person. It's not a one-time thing. This becomes a way of life. A way of life of placing our trust in Hashem. If we don't turn to the haughty and the arrogant, to the self-assured, to those who are overconfident and don't rely on Hashem, those who make the mistake of straying after falsehood. Falsehood is anything but Hashem. Hashem is emet Hashem li'olam. The truth never changes, and it's always applicable. And anything that, you know, kind of arrives or is in vogue or fashion at a certain time is never really true. That's all falsehood. The nature of falsehood is its evanescence and its natural passing and evolving and changing. But people are impressed with that. How many of us trust in things that are ever changing? We trust in a particular industry, saying, this is a good industry to be in. This is rock solid. I'll always be able to make a living if I do this. Only to find out that a pandemic hits and the thing that was most certain is now entirely uncertain. Because, my dear friends, the trust that we have should not be placed in the material efforts we make or in those who promise us salvation. Our trust has to be placed only in Hashem Yisbarach, only in God. Ashrei HaGever, fortunate is the person who can do that. He doesn't stray after other things. Now here, it's clearly indicated, as we learned already earlier, that if you go after other things, it's the opposite of Ashrei. Fortune comes to us through our trust in Hashem. Does this indicate that there is no middle ground? I don't know. I think that's already been told to us. I think the first verse we quoted from the second chapter of Jeremiah made it very clear. I think that was further buttressed by the verse that we quoted from Psalm 106. I think what we're hearing here is that the good fortune that shines on us comes when we place our trust in Hashem and not in anything else. Our blessings, our Baruch HaGever, turn into an Ashrei HaIsh or Ashrei HaGever, a fortunate person, a way of life, of trust, and therefore tranquility, because Hashem is providing for me. So what if I don't have this trust? So what if I don't have this tranquility because Hashem will provide? I'm tranquil and peace. I'm at peace. I don't have no anxiety because I rely on this one, the other one, all kinds of factors. I need insurance. I need to know that everything is going to go well. So I have many layers of guarantees, and therefore I am calm, cool, and collected, and I have no anxiety. Rabbeinu Bechaya concludes and he says, it's not only in the positive sense that you are able to bring Hashem's blessing, but in fact, if you turn your back on Hashem and if you place your trust elsewhere, you bring the opposite of the blessing. In other words, this trust isn't an elective. If you want, you can do it. It'll bring you more blessing. As some like to view Yiddishkeit as an opportunity for good things. You're not really required to do anything, to tell you. It's just an opportunity. You can bring blessings if you wish. But that's really not Yiddishkeit's message. The Torah is very, very clear about this notion that our blessings come from Hashem, and if we abandon Hashem, the opposite will unfold. Okay, abandon Hashem. I'm not abandoning God. I'm just looking for a little insurance. I'm just trusting in something else. No good, says Rabbeinu Bechaya. The nature, the sum-zero game of this absolute kind of trust that brings you blessings can be lost when you trust in something else. In fact, it'll bring you the opposite of blessings. And that's why now only at the end does he take us back to the earlier verse. The verse to say that Hashem's providence being taken away from you necessarily means the opposite of your blessings. In other words, many people, trusting Hashem that He is the ultimate source of success, nevertheless turn to other forces and vehicles to achieve that success. They put their efforts into commerce or their profession or whatever other field of activity it is in order to gain what they believe to be divinely ordained prosperity and success. And they're right. They're right in the knowledge that it comes from Hashem. They're wrong by placing trust in other things. Because trust means that Hashem is the sole medium. And trust means I believe in no force. I trust in nothing other than Hashem. And if I do, uh-oh. And that's how we finish. It says, Rabbeinu Bechaya, V'omar, and it is written, and it says, Orer HaGev Asher Yiftach Ba'Adam, cursed is the person who trusts a person. Adam is a virtuous person, as we described. He's a gever. He's a person who's toiling. He's working really hard. So he found somebody to trust. An Adam. A really exemplary, talented, capable individual. No good. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says that a person who devises elaborate plans, whether it's business deals or a strategy, which is based exclusively on the behavior or promise of people without paying attention and directing yourself to the ultimate full control that's ever invested in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the opposite of blessing comes your way. In the words of the great Yirmiyahu, the prophet, he says, and now we go back to the beginning, to an earlier verse, Koy Omar Hashem, this is what Hashem said, Oru HaGever, Oru says Mitzudosin, Klolo, a curse. That means things don't go well. Asher Yiftach Ba'odom, what does it mean he trusts a person? Becharishoy Uktziroy. Here's a person who can plow. He's an expert. He's got a whole slew of machinery. This is a reliable harvester, so I trust in him. I know my business will prosper. I hired the right people. And therefore, I don't need God's blessings. I don't trust in God's blessings necessarily. Yirmiyahu says, Asher Yiftach Ba'adam, V'som Basar Zroyoy, he places in flesh, says Mitzudas Tzien, Adam, a person, Shehu Basar. Yes, he may be an exemplary, talented person. He's still just flesh. Bone, sinew, and plasma. He's just flesh. And if you place in him Zeroyoi, says Mitzudas Tzien, Chozkoi, that's where you place your strength. That's where you make your investment. The verse concludes, Umin Hashem Yosur Libay. In doing so, you turn your heart away from God. And that's why you're cursed, because of it. In other words, the exact opposite of goodness will come your way. When you see it this way, Rabbeinu Bechaya has really created an ironclad case for his supposition. It is clear that trust is an absolute singular kind of reality. It is clear that people who trust in other entities aren't experiencing bitachon, emuna perhaps, but not bitachon in Hashem. And that will mean that Hashem turns his providence from you. And the blessings that Hashem wants to give you simply won't be actualized. It's right here in the verses. And so in closing, what I would like to suggest or say, be it resolved, Rabbeinu Bechaya is not haphazardly throwing a couple of verses at us that speak about Betochen. This is a brilliant, carefully stitched tapestry. Every strand of scripture was woven precisely into place, and the message couldn't be clearer. The message for all of us is that in the end, everything comes from Hashem. And for us to trust in Hashem means that in the most singular fashion, we have to know if we trust, the good things will happen. In the words of the commentary entitled Pat Lechem, "Betchila meivira Yeshu Baruch." First, he brings a proof that you are blessed, desired, mekubel etzli is baruch. Then he brings a proof, shahabilti boiteach bay is baruch, that if you aren't trusting in Hashem, v'loy pana el rehovim, trust, it's a sum zero thing. And then finally, if you place your trust elsewhere, that earns you the opposite of blessings. Or hagever, in the words of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And so, my friends, we should be calm. We should be tranquil. We should rid ourselves of anxiety. We should be at peace. That's a tremendous benefit that's available to us all if we only will choose to nurture and develop and live with betochen in Hashem Yisbarach. Thank you so much for joining today. As we continue our journey of discovering the power and the strategy to bring betochen into our lives and thereby uplift ourselves and all of those around us, let me conclude with the trust in Hashem that good things will continue to happen for all of Am Yisrael, and that hopefully, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, very speedily, and in our time, we'll be zoicha to see Mashiach finally bring us all home. B'mheira u'b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you.